Shabbat Shalom to the Mishpachah, to the family, and to the brothers and sisters spread throughout the four corners of the earth that are truly awakening in this hour. That is original music, and you are tuned into the awakening brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association here on Blog Talk Radio. We also cover what is the blueprint for our lives, which is to do the will of the Most High. Yah, I am the preacher. It indeed is an honor to be here with you on this 4th of July weekend. Ain't no white man named Columbus discovered nothing, so ain't nothing to celebrate. But have another day to give Yah praise and get things right in your life. As I say all the time, and Solomon said it best, and it'll be a part of a theme of this show, which is understanding the will of Yah in this awakening, in this series entitled Do the Work. This is Do the Work Part 2. Solomon made it clear when he said, listen, the whole duty of man his entire life is to fear Yah and keep his commandments. All praises to Hayah. And we love him and we fear him. A lot of people think that some of the lessons that we've done in the past are fear-mongering. Well, if you feel scared, then you need to get your life and your heart right. The only fear I want you to have is a reverential fear for the one true Yah. And you should fear him. You should fear for your life and where you're going for eternity and what's going to befall you. You should fear the fact of the matter that there's consequences for your sins, for your actions. And we'll get more into what that sin is. We'll talk about those things. We'll definitely go to the BCRA page on Facebook. Many of you have already been there. Appreciate your support as we seek to educate the people on what is transpiring in our community, what has transpired, where we come from, who we are, and the rich history of our people and the Hebrew sojourn, and to be able to dispel the notion that this book is a book of religious dogma, some religious artifact that people use for their own purposes and twist and tangle to suit their religious needs and to suit their false prophecies and doctrines. Nah, we bring it back to the truth of what it was, the Holy Scrolls, that was only about a people, one people, and involved in the nations, and it's prophetic, and it's spot on. So it has been utilized for years by slave owners, false prophets, liars. It's been twisted to try to entangle and ensnare the minds of the Most High's true people that were the ones who received the statutes, laws, and commandments. He only gave them to one people to teach the whole nation. It's a shame right now that our people are teaching the other nations how to do everything else but live holy. Teaching them how to twerk, jerk, curse, turn up. That's not what he put you here for. He put you here, gave you these commandments and laws to teach other nations how to be righteous. And that's what we're here to do today. Before I go any further, let's go ahead and go before the Most High in prayer. Deliver. Heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are resting and trying to renew their spirits and their resiliency and their endurance during the Shabbat. Pray that they'll be refilled, renewed, strengthened, encouraged, rebuke discouragement, depression, oppression, and suicide. May they get the monkeys off their back to the power and workers of the Holy Spirit be set free. But we know that freedom comes through this truth and this understanding, and we depend upon you for it, and we shall march and triumph in your truth. Thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Give us the anointing we need to lay hands on the sick so that they can recover, and to cast out demons in the name of Yeshua. Greater is that that's in us than anything in the world. Thank you that the kingdom is inside of us, Father. Your power, your truth, your revelation may come forth. May we draw closer to you as we draw closer to the end of this era. It's in the name of Yeshua we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. Shema Israel, hallelujah. What a beautiful song by those sisters. I can't quite recall the name, but they have quite a few Hebrew tracks that you can find on YouTube. And it's a beautiful song to put us in the spirit. Listen, if you want to stay on point, you're going to have to keep your spiritual connectivity in this hour. Playtime is over. And you can see that's been the title of our series, that it's time to do the work. We'll get into that in a second. Let's go ahead and stay on the script. Go to the Black Cultural Restoration Association page on Facebook. The mission statement for the Black Cultural Restoration Association is restoring the cultural original Hebrew man and its culture, one asleep mind at a time. Truly, our culture has been raped and pillaged from us and stolen. We have identity theft in the land. This is one of the greatest secrets known to man about what happened with the Balfour Treaty and during the time of the Spanish Inquisition, which people call the Holy Wars as well, where people were being forced to convert into a false pagan Christianity. We lost everything. 70 AD, stormed the temple, took our holy scrolls in order to put us into this final captivity, stole our religion, stole our book. Other people who did not want to convert into Catholicism, form of Christianity, which all Christian churches and religions spawn from, they said, let's steal a portion of Judaism, mix it with Talmud and Kabbalah, but we're not accepting your savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. No, he's not our savior, because we worship Satan. We are the synagogue of Satan. Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9. But we will masquerade as the people to get you all to think that we're the holy people and to worship us. And on the left, we'll have the Romans, Amalek, present to you a picture of Caesar Borgia and have you worship Christianity. So in other words, you're surrounded by false religions to persuade you to leave the one true Yah that our people had as a culture that was innate in us. I always quote Lerone Bennett, who makes it clear that you cannot separate your spirituality from your culture. It's one of the same, synonymous. But when yours has been stolen, you begin to avert to many the worship of many other gods, including oneself, our vanity, our idols, wood and stone, because you're lost as a people. And the Black Cultural Restoration Association may come across as being another form of an NAACP on the forefront initially, but then eventually when you get to the core of the apple, there's a surprise waiting you on the inside, the fact that you must be born again and come back to Yah and assimilate to his commandments, his statutes, and laws. That's the only way to be separate and to come out of her, my people, and be a people that are different from all other people. You already know there's something about you that's different. Now get to the essence, the substratum of what really is the difference and why it exists. You should say, why me, why us? Not say, nah, I can't believe that, because you don't believe it because you're blinded. And when the scripture says the truth shall set you free, you will know the truth and it'll set you free. It means that you will begin to discover things about yourself, this world, and the lies you're steeped in. And as you begin to come into reality, taking the red pill, you separate yourself from this system because you're astonished, amazed that you've been lied to your whole life. You find out that there's not really a problem with CRTs, but there was a problem with the education you received as a child that constantly brainwashed you in a CO2 environment. Yeah, that's what schools are. And now they got kids wearing masks. You know, that dumbs you down, kills your brain cells, and allows you to be programmed when you're in a classroom setting such as that. And we voluntarily sent our kids to be miseducated. And what's happening now is that they can't control the spiritual awakening that's transpiring because the people understand Hosea 4 and 6, when it said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't want to be destroyed. There's a remnant who wants to live. So we're trying to acquire as much knowledge as possible and apply the knowledge to our personal beings themselves. It's one thing to know, but it's another thing to apply it. Application is everything. So when you learn, you apply and you transition and you convert. So the BCRA is there to find as many stones as we can, turn over rocks and give it to you. But I can't make you drink the water even if I lead it to you. but we will definitely try. When it says people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, it's not because some people don't know. It's because they choose not to know. You know, ignorance is bliss. And some people love to stay dumb because it's less pressure. It's low blood pressure, not high blood pressure. It's me not having to be responsible for nothing. It's me living like the book of Amos talks about, partying every day, turning up every day, because that's all I want to live for. That's all I want to do. I don't want to hear about all that. I can't accept that. That's too much of a weight to carry for the rest of my life. But then there are the others who came here knowing what they're supposed to do, and they carry it well, and they're willing to carry it well. There are saviors known as the 144,000 that will be born to this earth, just like the savior that came that was born by the seed of Joseph and David and Solomon that came to this earth and sacrificed his body, his blood, and his flesh to be the ultimate eternal once and for all sacrifice that we might have salvation. He is our salvation, and our salvation is coming. Why would somebody who's oppressing and colonizing you send somebody to come and save you who looks just like your oppressor and colonizer? So we destroy that myth, and we shake H-E-L-L out of our people to wake them the H-E-L-L up. Because this is ridiculous that some of you want to remain in your stupor, as the book of Baruch told us last week, and you don't want to come out of your stupor and deal with this truth. You're going to have to deal with it one way or the other, and many people are going to fall into massive amounts of fear. We already see people allowing the injection to be their salvation. And there's no salvation in an injection. And brothers and sisters, we know we've got a lot of death coming upon this earth. I'm not going to play around with it. A lot of sickness and death. What you thought you did to save yourself has only expedited the process of your death. And unfortunately, many of us who survive will have seen a lot. And you're going to have to be a strong person. And the only way you can be strong is by taking on a weight, bearing the weight, working out with it, carrying your cross, doing it. And so the knowledge of information and truth about who we are as a people, what's going on in this world, why people are fighting, why they're scurrying like rats, is because you depend on media, most effective demon in America, to give you the news instead of reading and opening up a book, and especially understanding and misunderstanding these holy scriptures. You've been so programmed that there are words that'll trigger you. Conspiracy theory, Bible, religion, Jesus, Satan. It's like as soon as you hear these words, there are walls that go up in your mind to say, oh, because what you want to do is dismiss it. So as soon as those triggers come in, your dismissing mechanism pops in. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Cognitive dissonance. We're going to talk about that in a second. So the BCRA page is meant to be a tool to give your kids so that they'll put some respect on it, because they're losing all their respect. And you don't know where to start, man, who's the head of your family, go to that page, instruct and teach, and then restore the moral fiber of your community by bringing your community back to the Ten Commandments at least. It's one step at a time. BCRA today, let's talk about, we're going to get into this book, View of the Hebrews by Ethan Smith. There's a little paragraph I want to read out of the book. We've been exposing the fact, and it's perfect for this time right now, to destroy more of this holiday about Independence Day and all this stuff and the 4th of July and Columbus and all this madness. This book by Ethan Smith written in the 1800s destroys that. But before I get into that, I'm going to play a clip. And before I play the clip, I want to shout out kudos to the brother. I can't call his name right now, that helped to put together the movie The Summer of Soul, another failed attempt of the establishment and the Caucasoid to suppress our history. A time when 300,000 black folks got together in the Renaissance of Harlem and had one of the biggest festivals, bigger than Woodstock. But Woodstock was pushed as a form of white supremacy to make it seem like, you know, they were this, they were better. But you had artists such as the Mahalia Jackson and Little Stevie Wonder and Gladys Knight and the Pips and B.B. King, so many people. Questlove was the name of the drummer who discovered this tape that was in somebody's garage for 50 years because they couldn't get anybody to play it, push it. But I love the fact that it came out at such a time as this, where it be received, much needed, and further support the narrative that's being created all around us. These are good narratives of all these documentaries you're seeing of people who have passed, especially these music artists such as Billie Holiday, played by Andre Day. But what I love about it is that they didn't so much push her drug habit as they did what she was doing on behalf of her people by singing that song, Strange Fruit, as a protest to all the lynching and hangings of bill, which is still on the books. We got an AAPI bill passed in 30 days, but in 100 years, you can't take the lynching bill off the books. People are actually voting against it. Wake up, people. Know where you're living. Know who your enemy is. And the scripture said, never trust thine enemy. Never. Think about the sister that went to a slumber party with a bunch of Edomites, found her thrown off the balcony and dead the next morning. Trust. Talking about let's go camping. Let's go hunting. Are you out of your mind? Let's go fishing. There's a natural, inborn, innate hatred they have for you, being the fruit of Yah's eyes, the apple of his eye. So the Summer of Soul was beautiful to see us at the apex of black power. You had the Black Panther Party coming on. You had solidarity within our community, going back to our natural hairstyles. It was beautiful in the 70s, and then here came crack in the 80s. It was a very strong time. I suggest you watch that, sit down, watch that with your family. I give it a pass to even watch on the Shabbat because it's historical. It's a coming together of our people and seeing the beauty and the love and the joy that is ours. Beautiful stuff. Okay, this lady, I'm a player, but I don't want to. She got some good information. Her name is Dr. Venus Opal Reese. And the reason I'm playing this little clip is because she deals with a lot of race and religion conflated. And she talks about the miseducation of white folks. So try to look past all her girl and all this stuff unnecessary. She's a very educated woman. She got some good content. She just needs to come on with it. You know, yeah. It's about a 10-minute clip. I'll probably start it. Let me start it at the 4-minute mark. That way we'll bring it down to about 6 minutes. Listen to this about...
Such a truth is, and when I get this Bible, I will show it to you. It's so important. It's so good to know this.
Let me help out. She's talking about the fact that she discovered there was a Confederate Bible. We also know that there was a slave Bible. It's in the Smithsonian Museum of Black History in Washington, D.C., that they had excavated certain scriptures and chapters that would support slavery and colonizing to enslave us, like obey your master. But the Confederate Bible went even further, she's talking about, how they educated, they used this Bible to educate their children. And they also use this Bible to promote their heroes, their generals, and their presidents, and to try and even more so erase black history. This Bible's about us, folks. This Bible's not about religion. This Bible's about the sojourn of a people. So to take it and change it and make it be yours and then put a Confederate flag on it, oh, my God, the debauchery, the defamation, the blasphemy. Let's listen to her speak on this real quick.
This stuff, right? Because they don't preach it. They don't want to talk about it. But we're talking about it. They have their own Bible. And this Bible starts off with a list of all the presidents, of all the generals. So what they're doing, and as soon as I get it, I'm going to read it to you. What they've done historically is they've combined race with religion to justify their actions, and they taught it to their children. Now, they're not going to say, I taught it to my children. It doesn't look like that to them, okay? Because historically, it becomes lore. It becomes the truth. It becomes what's so, all right? But because it's so rooted in religion, it turns them into fanatics. And they don't see that. That's why they can't talk to nobody except by being ugly, being awful, any kind of contesting. If you speak up as a black person, in their mind, you're stepping out of place. You don't know your place. How dare you be proud of you? How dare you question what we think? How dare you say what you feel? How dare you have passion? Oh, you're angry, but we're assertive. You see what I'm saying? But it's all because they've been trained that way. Now, this is not an excuse. Don't be tripping. This is not about an excuse. It's a context. Because you and I keep talking to them like we're talking to the same people. And we're not. They have been indoctrinated for generations. And For generations. In the textbooks, there are some textbooks where they don't have anything about black history at all. There are certain areas in America where there's no such thing as black history, and all they know is what they see on BET or on the news or whatever positive thing that happens. So they sincerely believe, and I don't mean it in an emotional way, I mean it in that they were taught a different history than what happened. So when they hear about critical race theory, it turns into a threat. We're going to turn them into going to be racist. No, baby. We don't have to. You were born into a condition. And because you were born into it, you have been trained and indoctrinated to believe that you are inherently superior, inherently better, inherently right. So anything that doesn't agree with what you believe in is wrong, is negative, it needs to be abolished, be taken down, all of that. So their response is so extra because they've been cultivating mischief since the 1800s. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you long on this one, sis. Okay, just know that you're not crazy. Okay, the level of rigor they have, the level of fervor they have is because it's tied to religion. Okay, definitely cognitive dissonance, but more so than anything, it's righteousness. It's the same thing as the holy wars, y'all. It's the same thing. But because we haven't had, one, he didn't want us to read. Secondly, we haven't had a safe space to talk it through. My platform is coming. It's coming. Give me a minute on it. And we haven't had access to the information that we didn't even know. I didn't know that they had their own textbooks. Girl, I didn't know they had their own Bible. That blew my brain apart. And when I saw that they got their generals in the Bible next to God, what? How do you put your generals next to God? How is that good? Okay? Anyway, it blew my mind. I'm out to educate us, and I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to jump off, and I'm not going to talk to you long. Hey, bro. Hey, Sam. Glad you're here, allies. All the love. And for my haters, love you, too. I know you're listening. And I know you can't help it, and that's why I know you have a crush on me. My point is this. The reason why it's important to have this knowledge is because we keep fighting the wrong fight. We keep talking direct when they have no context. They can't even hear it. They can't hear it. And if you look at their comments, they're going to say some stuff again. They're going to get mad. I'm talking about anything that has anything to do with them not looking like a freaking savior, okay? They're going to say bad. They'll say what they say. That's normal. They only know how to fight morally, and they only know how to fight by tearing people down. Look at the comments. Watch how they fight. They can't have a conversation that's dignified. Now, I'm not saying all white people. Please, y'all. And what the hell is, make sure when people say, I never said all white people. I'm talking about history. I'm talking about systemic racism. I'm talking about white supremacy. I'm talking about ideology. I'm talking about stuff that sets people free, which is how you hold things, how you think of them. And what I want to be very clear of is they're so indoctrinated into their whiteness that they don't even know that they're indoctrinated because it's generational, okay? What I need you to understand is that when you're speaking to someone who's screaming because they can't have a dignified conversation, they're not even there. They can't hear it. They're not there because in their world, you have no voice. You are less than. You are inferior. How dare you even engage in a conversation? How dare you be proud of yourself? How dare you be accomplished? Because in their reality, you can't. Because in order for you to do that, their whiteness will totally fall apart. Their identity will go to shreds. I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm going to stop, Jesus. Most of the people who settled this country were people who were criminals, okay, who came from different countries, whether Spain or England. They were thieves. They were gangsters. They were criminals. Do not be surprised by the level of comfort they have with criminality, whether it's mass shootings, whether it's voter suppression, whether it's making sure we can't read. This is all part of how they survived. And they want us our compliance, and we're no longer complying because the world is changing and the structures are following. So be encouraged, boo, okay? And I encourage you, please share this word. My intention is to empower us, to empower ourselves, and never have to go through them or to them for anything. They think we need them, and we don't. We don't. We really, really don't. What we're committed to building is our own infrastructures. And once they can't burn down, okay? At least what I'm doing, I'm putting culture in the cloud, baby.
Okay. Let's comment on that. This is very interesting. For one, what she's referring to, because we have to put it in context too, because we have to understand who we are as people and what's transpiring with us. And that's what we do with the BCRA. When she said that we don't need them for anything, we're conditioning our minds to get back to that point. But unfortunately, due to the curses said you will go to your enemies in want of everything. So we don't quite yet own the farms, manufacturing plants, and the places where we can process our foods and do things and just be self-contained. We're not quite there, and it's due to the curses. But those who are coming out of the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and beginning to keep these commandments, you're really becoming self-contained. You're not even prepping. You're just getting a self-containment mindset, which is preparing you for the kingdom of Israel. You know, you think that you're just stacking up water in case the lights go out, this and that. No, you're trying to think because there's a mindset of freedom that's coming back to the people, that are coming back to the statutes, laws, and commandments and the kingdom of Yah, that's getting to like, how can I prepare for the future to take care of my family? You have a family state of mind now, and you think about not just your immediate family, but your brothers and sisters who also keep these statutes, laws, commandments, and holy days. Another thing she pointed out that I really like that we need to focus in on is that for years, we've been trying to talk direct to them, have debates with them, go to protests, march. And Isaiah 42 told us not to march in the streets and raise our voices and go loud. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of context where Yah tells us to go into the house and shut the door and let me do my work because I'm about to bring judgment on these people. Just put the blood at the doorpost because this ain't for you and this is not your fight. This is my fight. I'm dealing with you as a people, straightening out your community, and then I will deal with them. What makes sense with what she said, and this is all based on this Confederate Bible she discovered. We're going to talk about that in a second. This really changed me. They have no context for the conversation that we bring to them about our plight, who we are, and what we want. And then second of all, we shouldn't want anything in this world with them, next to them, alongside them. You saw how powerful we can be with Tulsa, Oklahoma, when we kept and are alone to ourselves with a functioning spiritual unified mindset. Yes, we can build, but unfortunately, too many of our people want to be like these people, and they love that when we want to be like them and accepted by them. Other than that, that's why they look at you crazy when you going off, and they're like, angry black woman, angry black man, and they'd be like, ooh, mocking you, because they love to poke and prod at you because they have no context of you and who you are. And then that's why they hate you when you're very successful in various genres of the sport and of business and of law. They're like, they are conflated when they see you advancing in these areas. They're like, this doesn't add up. Because why? What she's talking about is what she discovered. They had their own textbooks. And we're talking about places like in the heart of Iowa, Montana, Toledo. You know, where it wasn't like a lot of black folk influence and culture. Now it's almost getting everywhere, and they're like, you know, but like she said, they would learn everything that they saw in, from BET in the movies, and we know what they were teaching our rappers to do in the movies, what they were all about. Everything that's going on in Chicago, violence, shooting, killing, selling drugs. So that's what they, that's why they always looked at you like that. And then they look at you in amazement and like, why can't you be like Martin Luther King? You know, they'll say things like that. Why can't you be a better black person? Because they assume off the top what they've seen through media. But when she tells you that they ripped out certain scriptures and chapters and created a Confederate Bible that makes it, that puts them in the Bible, they're taking away and they're adding to the Holy Scriptures, which is blasphemous, which would definitely take you to the place called Lake of Fire. They don't know anything about you. So they expect you to want to be them. And what we call that is coon. But they celebrate the coons. You get the Oscars, the Grammys, and the awards. Now, I'm not trying to downplay anybody that's successful, but they know you got that by playing along with their rules to get that. Just like you can't get a degree from their schools of learning until you learn their curriculum. Then they pat you on the back and give you a degree. When Noah didn't go to school for engineering and architecture to build that boat, okay, and I could go on and on with that type of list. Most of the disciples were just regular fishing men who wanted to take care of their family, but ended up turning the world upside down. The Most High didn't, you know, it's like this. We'll be able to play masterpieces of jazz, and they suppressed from you that Beethoven, he was a black man, and that Shakespeare, he was a black man. We didn't go to school to learn these things. We are the people of Yah that have these God-given gifts. And what they do is break down our gifts and talents, put it in their schools of learning, and say that they came up with it first and teach it to you. Now, I'm not trying to make this a black history lesson, but I'm just trying to pinpoint something, because this should amaze you to stop talking at the enemy and start talking to Yah and get yourself together. BCRA, what she is saying is that we have to have talking points, because you will better understand that some things are a waste of time. So in order to be self pain and in a position to where we could do for ourselves, we've got to become morally sound and restore the blueprint by restoring the culture that has been stolen from us. If you keep repeating what you think is the culture, then you get what you see we have right now with the young people today who know everything, and consciences are seared and will twerk on top of an ambulance that's on the way to an emergency situation to keep it from getting to. What crowd of people stays in an area after there's been 30 shots and you still hanging out partying? You see the conditioning there? So not amazed about the education, the books, and everything, but what I'm breaking down is that you have to understand there is a mindset you're dealing with when you're dealing with a people who hate you, who have enslaved you. So let me just deal with our people. That book is about you and about the plight of our people. Understand this and know this. I'm going to read you something out of the book, The View of the Hebrews. And it's a book by Ethan Smith, a bunch of archaeologists, excavators, educators, historians came over before Columbus, after Columbus, to check out these so-called indigenous people that were here and where they came from. And we've been breaking this down, who these people are, even in the scrolls, that Second Esdras 13 chapter tells you that the southern tribe, the northern tribe, went to other lands that people have never dwelt in so that they could keep these laws and live their life, keep their commandments. Page 108 in View of the Hebrews, it says that under the eighth argument, Mr. Adair says the ceremonies of the Indians in their religious worships are more after the Mosaic institutions than of pagan imitation, which could not be if the majority of the old nation were of heathenish descent. They are utter strangers to all the gestures practiced by the pagans and their religious rites. They have another appellative, which with them is the mysterious essential name of God from the Tetragrammaton, or great four-lettered name, which they never name in common speech. You know, let me pause right here. You know they're talking about Yah, Yahweh, some say Ahaya, Haya. These play on words. But the key point is that we didn't utter the Most High's name because it was almost blasphemous. If you were living in sin or had broken some of the laws and commandments and you're saying that holy name, it wasn't meant to be. So our Elohim, it has changed to Lord, which means Baal, but our Elohim, we would refer to him as the Most High. All praises to the Most High. And then we would just say, yeah, but it was not proper to say his name. And these North American Indians knew this, and they would not just utter the name. That is where you get, don't take the name of your God in vain. That's what it's in reference to. Let me finish reading this little paragraph. Of the time and place when and where they mention it, they are very particular and always with a solemn air when they mention his name. It is well known what sacred regard the Hebrews had to the four-letter divine name, so as scarcely ever to mention it, but once a year. Only once a year did they say the name. So don't even get into a debate or discussion with someone about the name. Let me finish reading. When the high priest went into the sanctuary at the expiation of sins, sounds a lot like the Day of Atonement, huh? Might not the Indians copy from this sacred invocation, Yo-Hi-Wah, their method of invoking God in a solemn hymn with that reverent deportment and spending a full breath on each of the two first syllables of the awful divine name, hath a surprising analogy to the Jewish custom, Hebrews, and such as no other nation or people, even with the advantage of written records, have retained it. It may be worthy of notice that they never prostrate themselves nor bow their bodies to each other by way of salute or homage, though usual with Eastern nations, except when they are making or renewing peace with strangers who come in the name of Yah, Shema Israel. That's what that is. And he's making reference to it because a lot of people think that some of these other Indians come from Asiatic origin and not the original Indians. They were dark skin, copper skin, Hebrews. So they changed the image there as well. Those aren't the same people. Let's be clear. And then the thing about the Yahweh, and the reason I'm doing it like that is because we don't have the true language, the Paleo-Hebrew, let alone the phonetic Hebrew. You all are copying a form of Yiddish, which is Germanic. It's pulled from German languages, English, some Greek, and then some Hebrew put in there, and they've taken away the breath sound. And that breath sound ties in back to the fact of the origin of man, that when it says, and Yah breathed into him the breath of life, that breath sound is a lot because it is the essence of you, where it comes from where your soul is seated. But more of that on another day. Mr. Adair proceeds to speak of the sacred adjuration of the Indians by the great and awful name of God. The question being asked and the answer given, Yah, with a profound reference in a bowing posture of body immediately before the invocation of Yo-Hi-Wah. This he considers to be Hebrew, adjuring their witnesses to give true evidence. He says it seems exactly to coincide with the conduct of the Hebrew witness even now on like occasions. Mr. Adair's other illustration under this agreement in various feasts, fastings, their art, and their ever refusing to eat the hollow of the thigh of their game have been significantly given in connection with the testimonies of others to the same points. Enough has also been exhibited under the 9th, 10th, and 11th arguments. Under the 12th, he says, eagles of every kind they esteem unclean food. Likewise, ravens, crows, bats, buzzards, swallows, and every species of owl. This he considers as precisely Hebrew, as also their purifications of their priests and purifications for having touched a dead body or any other unclean thing. In other words, he's saying, where did these customs come from? They were only known for the Jews over in the East. How did these customs come over here to the West in South America, the Caribbean and North America? Because we had sojourned over into these lands way before the transatlantic slave trade. That's a view of the Hebrews, an excerpt by Ethan Smith. Order a copy so you can dispel the belief of who the people are. We talked last week that let the wheat and tare grow together. When the Most High comes, he'll separate and denote who are the true people according to bloodline, Satan's seed and the serpent seed, and who his people are. Okay, it's about time to get into the lesson. So when we come right back, we're going to go ahead and get into these scriptures about doing the work. You're tuned into The Awakening. I'm your brother. Glad to be here with you as we just chop it up on this Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom to all of you throughout the four corners of the earth that have been listening and supporting Most High Watchers over his word to perform it. This series is titled Do the Work, based on the scripture out of the book of John, Yochanan 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And we're getting ready to do just as that great song back in the day said, slipping into darkness. That's where we're going right now, and it's happening all around you. We're not here to panic because we're slipping into darkness, because the dark day has to come. In 1 hour, it'll be so dark the desolation and destruction that will hit. You won't, ain't nobody going to be doing no work. Work time is over. Now it's time to clean up, shop. Because when the light comes back, that light will be the savior. The shop breaking through the clouds, coming to establish us in our lands. Mount Zion. That's what he's coming to take us to. But man, we're going to read the scriptures that he said, don't look forward to that day because we don't know who coming out. That's right. The righteous are going to scarcely make it in. Do you have the testicular fortitude to stay sanctified, holy, clean, moral, and stay on the path? And even during that dark day, will you not fear and tremble? Will you trust in Yah? Do you have the ability to look Satan, these demons, these monsters, this death and stuff in the face and say, I will not be moved? And I can assure you that most of you don't. We're going to talk about the dark day, but the reason you don't is because cognitive dissonance has been taking place. And this is happening every time you watch the news. I am so convinced that the people around me, family members, good friends, been known a long time, over the years, they have been seduced, brainwashed, MK Ultra, cognitive dissonance through food, media, fear, everything they've been subjected to. They don't even know. It's put scales on their eyes, and people really are in darkness right now. So not only is there a physical darkness coming, there are people who are in the dark now. And this is so duplicitous. What I'm talking to you about is because we also, who want to be righteous, we have to live in a certain type of darkness too. And that means that we must be blind to the ways of mankind. So dealing with this darkness is a lot. So we have people who are in darkness because they're asleep and they can't see the light. And then those who are woke refuse to live that lifestyle and see the allure of what Satan is presenting. Cognitive dissonance is the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as relating to your behavioral decisions and attitude change. You can't, everybody's struggling with cognitive dissonance. You can't find your mind. You're schizophrenic and you're double-minded these days. You'll say one thing one day and tomorrow you want to do something different. And it's because you can't control your thoughts anymore because you're being bombarded through the frequencies that are all in the atmosphere that Satan is riding on. Radiation can kill you. Watch the movie called Cell, playing around with a game about cell phones and people's minds going crazy. Let me explain something, what I'm saying. We talked about this last week. Frequencies, demons ride on frequencies. And you need to understand that the most restrictive limits on your whole body exposure are in the frequency range of 30 to 300 megahertz, where the human body absorbs RF energy most efficiently. And that's when the body becomes exposed. So it's saying, it's talking about cancer, but I want you to know cancer is a sickness, which is a demon, because demons ride on frequencies. So the frequencies that are being emitted, if you assimilate that with the metals that are inside of people's bodies, from the fluoride to the chemtrails to the foods to the aluminum and all of the vaccinations that you've gotten over the years and the metal fillings inside your mouth, the metals, the danger in that is the fact that we know where demons come from according to Enoch, which they don't want you to read that book. Enoch 15 tells you where the demons came from, the frequencies they ride on, how they're stuck on the earth. Enoch, the 10th chapter, gets into it, talks about the watchers, the fallen angels, sleeping with women. But chapter 8 of the book of Enoch tells you that, I'm not going to even call the name of this fallen angel today on the Sabbath, the holy day. It starts with an A. He taught men to make swords, knives, shields, and breastplates, and made known to them the metals of the earth, because we didn't know. And the art of working them, and bracelets and ornaments, and the use of antimony, and the beautifying of the eyelids and costly stones in all coloring tinctures. But let's go back. The art of working them, how to work these metals, and the use of antimony. So there are metals in the vaccinations. Now, if I give you some metal, you know, nano, small little robots, nanoparticles, and magnetize your body and put metal all in your body to the point you're magnetized. Now, when I emit a higher resonation of frequencies in the atmosphere, I can control you and your mind, which takes me back to the intensifying of the cognitive dissonance. We're dealing with demons here, and it's confusion. I know it sounds like a lot because God is not the author of confusion. Yah's not. Satan brings on this stuff, trying to use oppositions of science to bring in his kingdom and the Antichrist. So now we have a saturation proliferation of people that can highly be exposed to radioactivity, which is going to cause these sores on people, cancers, mind control, and a zombified attitude. Zombies, people, which is why the CDC website has a page called Zombie Preparedness. It's not a joke. You think it's a joke because you watch zombie movies and ate popcorn and laughed. Now it's a reality. Do you see? And I know you've seen the cognitive dissonance at work in your friends and coworkers. Now you get it. And it's even more so intensified, which is why we got to do the work. I'm trying to do it now and tell you what you're dealing with. It's just like we talked about in the BCRA section. You can't deal with these people direct. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time trying to deal with the person. You're going to have to deal with the spirits inside the person, which is absorbing all this stuff. When you inject something in your body that's against Yah, that comes from Hashatan because he taught them the working of metals, and then you subjugate people to an atmosphere full of frequencies that can emit information into your body, we got a mess on our hands. So if you thought the cognitive dissonance was strong, now give it about, I'd say 2 weeks, because it's mid-July to turn it up 5. It's turning up 5G. So you already have it. Let's look at the definition of cognitive dissonance again. The state of having inconsistent thoughts. So you mean to tell me these thoughts that are coming are not of my own? Yes. The dangers of people walking around and sporadically murdering people are very real. Inconsistent beliefs. I don't know what I believe. Attitudes, spirits just jumping on you. All of this is spiritually connected when you deal with frequencies. And so now they're going to up the frequencies from 50 gigahertz to 600 gigahertz. And we see that, let me go back to frequencies. In addition to the very low power levels discussed above 60 hertz, systems do not penetrate the human body. High frequency emissions such as 60 hertz are absorbed by the moisture in the human body. I don't even know why they talk about this stuff. See, this type of information we don't expose ourselves to. So the frequencies coming out your cell phone, they're trying to tell you that the moisture in the human body and are absorbed by the moisture in the human body and are thereby prevented from penetrating beyond the outer layers of the skin. So now what happens when you move to 5G and you get up to 600 hertz? Now I can get past the skin deep inside your body and send this electromagnetic metals. I got metal in your body. You let me metallicize you. You gave me your arm. You let me put nanoparticles inside you. And polyethylene glycol, which is a metal, and crystals. It's full of crystals. I got crystals and metals flowing through your body that, you know, started back in Enoch with the fallen watchers who taught this to men. Now I control you. So it will be like it was in the days of Noah, where gene splicing and animal tampering, DNA tampering was happening. And where the Most High said, I can find none righteous on the earth when he told Lot, if you could just find me one. Noah, just you and your family, get in the boat, shut the door. I got to bring a deluge and clean this up. And we're moving to darkness because it's time to clean up. I've had to do therapy on myself to just prepare myself for what I'm going to see and experience, which is Psalms 91. 1,000 shall fall at thy left, 10,000 at thy right, but none of these plagues will come nigh thy dwelling. That's in Psalms 91. But to condition yourself in the spirit to prepare for the death that you're going to see, you got a taste of it when the fear hits you in 2020, but that's nothing compared to what's coming. And he said, don't look for this day. And I'm not looking for the day. I'm doing what he told me. When you see all these things happening in the earth, look up because your redemption is drawing nigh. We used to say in these scriptures, I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from Yah. I also love when Elisha told Yah to open up the eyes of his servant Gehazi so that he could see the unseen angels that were encamped around about them to protect them and fight for them. I say that to encourage you because you can't really see in the other dimension, the other realm, frequencies, portals, you can't see. That there's so great a cloud of witnesses waiting, cheering us on and protecting us. You have angels that protect you, but you've got to be living this thing. The fight is too great, brothers and sisters, because we've let Satan get an advantage over the weak and non-spiritual. He's gotten an advantage by putting fear inside of people that made this injection their salvation. Denounce Yah, because for years in the church, they didn't teach people nothing. Not a thing. So I wanted you to hear the science behind the demonic possession, frequencies, cognitive dissonance, and what's really transpiring, people. There'll be no salvation for a soul who out of fear turned to Hashatan, Satan. I posted on my page that a woman who's a veterinarian got a jab, and she took the PET scanner that they use to identify pets who have a chip in them, RFID chip, and she put that scanner on the place where she got jabbed and where she was sticking magnets to. And the number that's on the vial and the injection, when they give you an injection, there's a number associated with it that goes into a computer bank, a data system, because you took the beast juice. And when she put that scanner up to that injection spot, the number that's on that vial popped up on that scanner. I'm not speculating, and I'm not going to just say what that is, but you think about it for yourself. People have no idea what they're doing to themselves. And I want to put this out there real quick before I continue with the scriptures. There are quite a few of you that got a placebo, and they gave out the placebos so that there will be people that say, look, I got it. Nothing happened to me. To seduce the many, the masses, because they need a high percentage of people. And these people will be controlled. This MK Ultra has been the reason that you've had these mass shootings and different things. They know how to put a voice-to-skull technology. I talked about that years ago. They have voice-to-skull technology. We've just intensified that now. You got Dolby sound technology now. They can hear clearly. Go do this. This is so spiritual, people, that it's not even funny. This goes against Yah and his plan and his order. Time to do the work. Let me get into it. We read John 9 and 4. We're going to do a treatise on John 9 in 1 second. But before I do that treatise on John 9, let's look at Amos 5 and 18. Slipping into darkness. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. When judgment comes, brothers and sisters, scripture makes it clear that The sun will not give its light, or the moon or the stars, because destruction is about to happen and the heathen is about to be purged from the earth. I got news for you all. Depopulation is all in the Bible. Revelation 6 and 8, and when we talk about the vials being poured out, Satan is always just trying to mimic Yah and take as many people with him as he possibly can. Revelation 6 and 8 said, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him." This is the dark day, people. "And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." We see animals coming out preparing for the killing they gonna do. We see that they are already buying up all the farmland, stopping the flow of trucks because they can't get microchips. When this 2020 started, the plandemic, farmers were burning up food and crops because they thought that the COVID was getting all in the food. And then y'all forgot about mad cow disease and everything else, and these sick chickens. There is a food shortage that's coming because they're manufacturing it. They're engineering it to be so. But Revelations 6 and 8 already told us about this. That's why this book is a weapon. This book is powerful, which is why people try to alter it, change it, and make it fit their nation. This book is for us, the people of Yah. It's our roadmap. Revelations 9 and 15. Let's look at some more depopulation. "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay a third part of men." More depopulation. I got another one for you. Let's go to the book of Zechariah. 13th chapter. The 8th verse. "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, said the Most High, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein." Are you going to endure until the end? Seven vials, people. Let's get some more of this. This is pretty good. It says that people will be more rare than gold. So I guess I Am Legend with Will Smith wasn't too far off. People will be more rare than gold. That's why Satan twisted it with that movie about the false rapture, paganized, and talking about that you'll be snatched and you ain't got to worry about this. No, the ones that are left, wasn't taken, are going to be killed and destroyed. We're reading it. This is Isaiah 13 and 12. "I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." And then, let's see, there's one more. Flip-flopping over here, a little bit there. Revelation chapter 16. And this Revelation chapter 16, I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to read it all. But this talks about the seven vials of wrath. And it said, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath of Yah upon the earth." And when you read this, you see, oh boy, poured out his vial upon the earth. They're filling noisome and grievous sores on people, upon men which had the mark, and upon them which worship the image. My God, we are at the precipice of this because I just talked about the sores, because the juice that's been put inside the people's bodies when the radiation is turned up will become cancerous, and the minds will be destroyed, cursed. The blood-brain barrier is being penetrated by the nanoparticles. You're putting something inside you that there's no return. And that's telling you not to do it is the spirit of Yah, and only certain people are hearing it. You've got to have the spirit to stay on point. And then if you know it's just you that hears this voice, you cry out loud like Isaiah 58 said, and show my people their transgressions. Do the work. Help some people to repent that they might be saved, and even if they die, they'll be able to have repented for their lack of faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without it, it's impossible. If you read 16, and I'd encourage you to read it today after the lesson, look at verse 3. The second angel poured out a vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. These vials are powerful, people. It's prophetic. Verse 6, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Talking about the people that are going to pay for having killed the saints. Psalms 148 tells you that the saints are the Hebrews, his people that went into captivity. That's in Psalms 148, it clearly denotes. And then the prophets, all of our prophets in this book, and great men more recent that you know that came out trying to tell us and warn us, and they kill them all the time. Even Hoover of the FBI said, don't let another savior rise amongst them. Fred Hampton in Chicago, certain people had this gift, this mark on them, but they cut them down quick. Yeah. Verse 6 is coming for you, all of you that encouraged it, all of you and the children of the ones that sat around after lynchings and cut pieces of bodies off and took them home as souvenirs for the great lynching at our picnic after Sunday service of our Confederate Bible. You don't even know who you around when you walk up in these pagan temples on Sunday talking about we are the world and God so loved the world. You don't even know what you're saying or singing. Worshiping their God and not the Most High. I could stay here all day, but you get the gist of this chapter. It's the Most High's depopulation that leads to Armageddon. Matter of fact, before I go from here, let's go to verse 15. It says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. That's us looking, waiting, watching. Watching patiently, keeping the commandments. Look, and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked. That means having on the full armor, not being exposed. And they see his shame. And 16, and he gathered them together. This is after all this killing. Then he's gathering them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. We're on the precipice of World War III. Verse 17 is marvelous because it says that they'll hear a great voice saying, it is done. We've handled these heathens. We've done away with them. It is finished. You have to understand that we're acting like Joseph right now, who stored grain in the temple, take care of his people and those that have come to you. And like Noah did when he put food in the ark for the animals and his family so they could live. You'll be put up and taken care of in a place called the wilderness. But no, all of Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. We are living in the times of the days of Noah. But we're not. We celebrate the fact that he's coming back and there's a kingdom coming. But as Amos said, it's not a day that you should look forward to. I can't stress that enough. That sounds duplicitous, doesn't it? It sounds like a double statement. It's like we await and long our chance to be in the new Jerusalem and new kingdom. But that one hour that's going to come upon the earth and that darkness, don't get so pious and arrogant to just think that, yeah, I can't wait. Y'all can get yours. Be humble and holy and do the work right now and keep your armor on and your clothing on and don't expose yourself. Don't expose yourself to what's coming on this earth and be a partaker of this world's sins. That's the exposing yourself, uncovering yourself, because you become a partaker of the sins of the world and walk away from your conversion and become as a dog eating its own vomit, going back to its own dirt. Who dares go back to something they already know didn't work? For temporary satisfaction? Because you have no self-control? Because you can't control your flesh and your mind? And now Satan's taken over the minds of men through the working of metals and programming and the frequencies. How can you even control your mind? The only way you can is when the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in HaMashiach Yeshua, whom this world calls Christ Jesus. We don't worship a Eurocentric-looking God. His name is Yeshua, HaMashiach, Yeshua, son of Yah. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a supernatural component to you being converted by the law, statutes, and commandments, which is Psalms 19 and 7. For the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man and making wise the simple. So the only way you can be converted is by coming to the perfect law. And then the only way you can become wise and mess with your mind is by coming to the law. You have to submit to what we're talking about, which is the blueprint for life, which is the moral fiber, the aesthetics, the moral fiber, the foundation, the substratum for mankind. The end of the day, fear Yah and keep his commandments. Solomon. It's the only way you're going to navigate through this terrain. Because when you become a law-abiding citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you abide by the laws of the kingdom of heaven. And if you want the kingdom to reside in you, you must be a kingdom citizen and a law-abiding citizen. Because the lawless will not get in. Blessed are they, Revelations 22 and 14, that do his commandments. For they shall have a right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates, front door. You get to come in. The door will be open for you. Somebody will be holding the door for Benjamin, Levi, Gad, Judah, Ephraim, Benjamin, Naphtali, and on and on. Let's look at the book of John, the 9th chapter. Let's go through that real quick before we get ready to keep it pushing. Because our foundation scripture is in John, the 9th chapter. Let me say something. I brought this up last week since we're talking about depopulation through scripture, the Holy Scriptures. Let's look at this one from last week that we read, which is, I'll read it for you, the book of Baruch, 2nd Baruch, 72nd chapter. Here now also regarding the bright lightning, which is to come at the consummation of the black waters, this is the word. After the signs have come of which you were told before, when the nations become turbulent and the time of my Messiah is come, he shall both summon all the nations and some of them he shall spare. And some of them he shall slay. These things therefore shall come upon the nations which are to be spared by him. Every nation which knows not Israel and has not trodden down the seed of Jacob shall indeed be spared. And this because some out of every nation shall be subjected to your people. But all those who have ruled over you or have known you, shall be given up to the sword. I'm taking them out for the hatred that they have for you, the seed of Satan, serpent seed. So let's go through 9 real quick. I want you to understand, people, they hated Yeshua, they're going to hate you. And as Yeshua passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? We're born blind and shapen in iniquity. And we are, many of us, blind, and we're living in darkness, slipping into that darkness and need to be healed by Yeshua to open our eyes. He's the only one that can do it. So this healing is metaphorical and literal and physical as well. Metaphoric aspect is a component of my people opening their eyes and waking again to the absurdity of the gospel of Yeshua. Because what he did here with the blind man, as we're going to read, he spit in the dirt and made clay. Somebody spit in some dirt and put it on your eyes, you germaphobe, you're going to go crazy. Don't touch, don't put that on me. But this man got healed through the absurdity of what Yeshua did. Let's read it. Yeshua answered, neither hath this man sinned. He wasn't in sin. And his parents didn't sin. But that the works of Yah should be made manifest in him. I brought him for such a time as this, and I'm going to deliver him. It's not because of something he did. People always want to say, you must have did something to make this happen. That's what Job's friends did to him. Kept saying, well, let's figure out what you did. And they all got in trouble with Yah for doing that. He said, nah, I did this. We are in this sleep, stupor, because of the sins of our forefathers. And many of us are awakening and getting our healing. Verse 4 of John 9 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For when the night cometh, no man will be working no more. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spit. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. Pool of Siloam was even a dirty and nasty pool. It was not a clean water river. It was a muddy cesspool, little pond. Things that half of you wouldn't even do. You wouldn't even obey him. Who are you? He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came back seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But I said, nah, it's me. I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Yeshua made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. 13. Then they went and got them church folks. They went and brought the Pharisees to him that aforetime was blind. 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Yeshua made the clay and opened his eyes. See, so that is another scripture that points out that you can do good on the Sabbath day, healing, praying, delivering people. This is the work that we must continue to do. And even on the Sabbath, we should be doing exceptionally well in doing good to others. Verse 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed. And now I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of Yah, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Doing work, or you ain't supposed to do nothing. You don't go healing nobody on the Sabbath. That's what they were saying. Self-righteous folks. How can a man that is a sinner do much miracles? And there was a division among them. So it's clear cut that a lot of people felt that he wasn't of Yah, the son of Yah, and felt he was a sinner because he did the way he moved. He didn't flow. He didn't move like others. He wasn't trying to be self-righteous and on the posterior, the exterior, look all holy, sanctified, and greater than everybody else. Nah, he kicked it with those and kept it holy. And he was a man who did never sin, but was tempted at every point as we were. The only way you could be tempted to be just like us is to be human. You don't get the luxury of having an excuse to say, nah, he wasn't human. He was the son of God, so he could overcome sins. No, he had to be made just like us, lower than the angels a little bit, so that he could experience humanity, know exactly what we're going through, and prove to us that we can overcome our temptations and sins. And people are saying that you're a sinner because of they judging you on what you do, not knowing what you keep and what you really do. because they have a form of religion, a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We know this. Give me 1 second. Bear with me. Where did I leave off? Okay. Verse 21. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes. We know not. He is of age. Ask him. 22. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give the Most High praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I do know, whereas I was blind and now I can see. So you're like, you're not getting me caught up into that stuff. And we know that we must give Yah praise for the fact that he's opening our eyes and removing the scales from our eyes so that we can see this truth. He said to him again, verse 26, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He asked them, I've told you already, and you don't want to hear me. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Would also be his disciples. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. This is where our people who are non-messianic, and don't believe in Yeshua, but want to keep Torah and laws. You're just like you're stuck just like Judaism and even Islam. They follow Torah. And so Moses' laws could not save the people. We know now we're back in the order of Melchizedek. So we adapt these laws, but we also receive Yeshua and his sacrifice and his priesthood that we walk in. Done many lessons on that. Follow me as I follow Christ. Verse 29, we know that the Most High spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from who he is, where he came from. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from where he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that Yah heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Yah and doeth his will, him he hears. We're going to get into what his will is in a second. His righteousness, his will. I'll just tell you, his will is for us to keep his commandments that we do not perish. Keep my commandments and live. Keeping my commandments, Baruch 4:1, brings life. I must do the work of him that sent me while this day. I must do his will. His will is to do. When you sit up here and say the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that in heaven, they're keeping the holy tablets, the holy days, and worshiping Yah. You don't live any kind of way up there. You're going to be obedient to his voice and the part that was written with his finger, those Ten Commandments and those holy days and the Sabbath. You're going to be in sync. This was very key in verse 31 because they're like calling Yeshua a sinner, but saying we know that he don't hear sinners. And we find that in Proverbs, that he that turneth his ear from hearing the law and doing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. That's what this verse says in Proverbs, that your prayer don't go nowhere. If you're a sinner, which means 1 John 3:4, sin is transgression of the law, not keeping the commandments. That's sin. Not smoking and drinking and you ain't sin. No, sin is anything that's against Yah's law. Now, when I say we're following Christ, Christ kept the law, the commandments, and the holy days. So let's get that straight. What he did away with was the penalties for sin, which was death. You were to be stoned immediately if you were caught in sin. They killed you. He took care of that. So it's amazing that I, in my walk, have been called a Muslim, a sinner, a wine bibber, everything, from those that are closest to you. When Yahshua said, you'll be hated just like me, you don't fit in. John the Baptist, called him crazy. Boys crying out in the wilderness. You are not going to fit in. Once you become in sync with the laws of the Most High, you will be revived. Verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man that opened the eyes of one that was born blind, if this man were not of Yah, he could do nothing? They answered and said unto him, thou was altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they can't, and they cast him out. 35, Yahshua heard that they had cast him out. The boy he healed, and when he had found him, he said unto him, do thou believe on the Son of Yah? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Yahshua said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that's talking with you now. 38, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Yahshua said, for judgment, I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, that they which see might be made blind. Now, I want you to see the power of that. I'm going to read it again. He said, for judgment, I have come in this world. I've come to bring judgment to this world, that the ones who can see, they which see not might be able to see. That's his people, because he came for the lost children of Israel. He said, I came to open their eyes and bring them back into the fold, back into the covenant, this new covenant. And they which see might be made blind. Let me put something on. Let me give you something real quick before I can get more into that. He's opening the eyes up of his children, and he's blinding the minds of certain people. He's allowing Satan to do what he's doing in this earth. And then the thing that we began to see causes us to become blind to the ways of mankind and this world. I hope you're understanding and following what I'm saying. When you look at 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, I have to do a Selah on that. We look not at the things which are seen. So our eyes are open, but that's not our focus. But at the things which are not seen, that's what we're focusing on. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what that scripture says, as it alludes to our eyesight in doing this work, he opened our eyes, but we don't focus on what we can see. We see the corruption. We see what Satan's doing. We see how Satan's moving. We see what's going on with this jab. We see with these frequencies. He's opening our eyes, but we're not focused on that. We're looking to the hills. We're like Elisha with Gehazi. We're looking to the angels that are coming. We're looking at what's not seen, which is the coming of Yeshua, his return. We're looking at the hopes and promises of a new kingdom, a new Jerusalem. We're looking at the time when, like I looked at when I watched this documentary last night, the galvanizing and the gathering of our people and us being on a happy, equal, unified, peaceful vibe that we can't see yet, but we know it's coming. 18 again, while we look not at the things which are seen, since our eyes have been opened, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. They will be eternal. You've got to make something. Everything starts with a vision before it manifests. Yahshua even said that I saw, he said, I will go back into time and bear the cross and die, because he saw the glorious coming home of the saints and the unification. So he backed up to get started and go on his journey to help bring us back into the fold and to restore us so that we can get the kingdom. And he was willing to take that on because he saw the end before the beginning. It's been said that every great producer and director of a film writes the end of the film before he starts the rest of the film. You know how it's going to end. The end is actually recorded first. Let's get some more scriptures about this. I hope you're with me. you're doing the work. Doing the work is seeing what you're seeing, crying out loud, telling our people to come into the unseen. Focus on Yah and do this. Come back to the laws and commandments. Because he's got a depopulation that he's bringing upon this earth. I'm going to read real quick a few scriptures, and then I'm going to bring out some more of that those depopulation scriptures. But let me read some of these scriptures to you real quick out of Psalms 119. I'm going to read from Psalms 119, 104 through 105, 163, 165 through 166, and Psalms 172. I'm just going to read them. I'm just going to skip right into them. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. That's these scriptures. Therefore, I hate every false way. When you start to learn things, you begin to hate all the falsity in the world. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You will not be able to navigate, see through, and survive the darkness without having this word written in your heart. And it's a light unto my path. I hate and abhor lying. Satan is the father of lies. Everything you see on TV is a lie. But thy law do I love. That's in Psalms 119. I love your law. Great peace have they which love thy law. You don't have peace because you don't love these commandments, especially the one about you can't eat pork. And nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My tongue shall speak of thy word. For all thy commandments are righteousness. You can't even be righteous until you start keeping these commandments. There is no righteousness without the commandments and without the law. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4. One through eight. This is helping you out on your journey because we're not going all the time. We just have to follow the Spirit. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to try to explain what he's teaching. We have to follow what Yah is telling his people. And this is a day to be fed and increase your faith and your hope and your desire to press toward the mark to obtain your prize. Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 8 says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Most High, our Elohim of your fathers, gives you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Most High, Yah, which I command you. You're not supposed to change the book, add to it, put out books with only the New Testament. These Edomites with their little Confederate Bible. It's against Yah. You're not supposed to. This is his holy scriptures. Ain't for you to rearrange to fit your purposes and your needs. Verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Most High did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Most High thy Yah hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Most High your God are alive, every one of you this day. That is so powerful, verse 4. That is where we're going. It's not who's taken. The ones taken are the ones who are killed and destroyed. Those of you who keep the laws and obey him, every one of you. But ye that did cleave unto the Most High are alive, every one of you, this day. I will cleave to him. He's my rock. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's my refuge, Psalms 91. I'm holding to him. This is not the time to say, we all going to die, so let's party like it's 1999. Turn up, become homosexual, try to live out all your fantasies, which you have none anymore because your duplicitous cognitive dissonance, your mind is gone. Only the Holy Spirit of these laws can give you the deliverance that's needed in this hour to bring you back. Finish off this. 5. Deuteronomy verse 4, chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the other nations, the other races, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The only way they're going to give you your props and respects that y'all protesting, marching, fighting for with your BLMs and fists is when you come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. There it is there. In the land of your captivity, yes. Bethink yourself. That's the only way they're going to respect you. They ain't got no respect for you because they're in denial. Some of them know you to people and hate it and hate your guts, but you ain't acting like the people so they can keep their foot on your neck. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath the Most High so nigh unto them as the Lord your God is in all things that we call upon him for? Verse 8, and what nation is there so great that has the statutes, judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? You got the greatest thing in the world. The Creator has spoken to your people directly and put an intrinsic, innate spiritual ability in them, made them physically strong and spiritually wise. You have an affinity to draw nigh to the power of the creation because you were made in his image, and you are the only people. He didn't call to the Mount Sinai, where the commandments were being given, and the mountains were surrounded. Germany and Russia and Japan and China and all that stuff, he didn't call all them people. He called the nation that were enslaved by the Egyptians around the mountain and gave them his statutes, laws, and commandments and said, go teach it to the other nations. And then you want to deviate from the script and teach them how to thug out. Be adulterous, live a life of hedonism and fornication. It's sad. You don't want to be a part of the destruction that's surely coming on its way. Let's read a few more of these scriptures before I close out this depopulation stuff that we talked about. That's some good stuff. We got into some of it last week, and this probably be the last time I'll do the work. But I read 2 Baruch. I re-established what that was. But let's go to Zechariah 14. Open your eyes, people, that you might see and then choose not to see what you see with the eyes, but focus on the spirit. See in the spirit before it's night. Because when the night comes, no man is going to work. Zechariah 14, verse 16, it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast. The ones that are left of tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up, that I leave here for this thousand-year millennial reign of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, that's Yeshua, even upon them shall be no rain. So you come here with that old school funny style stuff that I just got rid of in this world, I'm going to make sure I destroy you. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they won't have no rain. There shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that came not to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So this is in reference to the nations that he spares, according to 2 Baruch 72, 1 through 6, that come and then start acting up. Because you got to remember, after the thousand-year reign, Satan will be loosed again and deceive these nations on the outside of the kingdom and try to uprise again, but they shall be immediately destroyed, and then we'll go into the new heaven and new earth after the millennial reign. I think we already read Zechariah 8 and 23. Thus said the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. That is a Hebrew. That word seemed to be changed a little bit, because that's only short for Judah. But Judah shall be the leading tribe that will work with the Shah, the southern kingdom, in the destruction of this land during the time of darkness in that 1 hour. And they're going to grab our fringes. And here's what they'll say. We will go with you, for we have heard that Yah is with you. Grabbing our garments, folks. Can you believe that? Isaiah 14, 1 and 3.
Take us with you. We're sorry. I didn't mean to call you a nigga.
Isaiah 14, 1 through 3. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet, still, I don't care, after all that stuff, I'm choosing Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. I ain't letting you get away from me. Like we used to do back in the day. Bosses, we sick. They going to be with y'all tomorrow. Is everything all right? I'm making light of it, but they going to cleave. They're not going to let y'all go. Because he's saying that even when he cleans this world out, with all the sins and atrocities a lot of our people have committed, and they're going to be purged out. Because when we go in the wilderness, it's going to be a purge of our people. They're going to be purged out, the ones that are wicked and don't want to do right and can't do right because they just got so used to this world. But the righteous that are going to come out, this scripture is powerfully telling you that these people are going to want to be next to you, close to you, because you are truly identified with holiness, righteousness, and being his people. Let's read the rest of it. The strangers, let's not forget that that's spoken of in 2 Baruch 72, the nations that are going to get to survive and come with us. But it's because they didn't hate us. They didn't know about who we were. They didn't trod on us. I'm trying to get in my mind what nation that is. But they're going to cleave to the house of Jacob. Verse 2, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land that the Most High. They shall be servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. Y'all hear that? What we talking? Do you hear it? You can't hold on and wait for that. And then verse 3 says, and it shall come to pass in the day that the Most High shall give you rest from all your sorrows and from thy fear and from thy hard bondages wherein thou was made to serve. He's going to bring it to an end. I think I got one more. Isaiah 60. Bosses, we sit. Verse 9 through 12. Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Most High God, unto the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. When we, that right there is saying, when we are gathered by him, by the ships of Tarshish, many have alluded that these might be the unidentified flying objects, the real ones, not the fake ones that Satan's creating down here on the earth through man's hands, but the real ones that are coming to gather the people. And when we gather, we're coming out with silver and gold. We're going to have wealth. So there will be a transference of wealth. Satan is always playing with terms that apply to us, the house of Israel, and what Yah said. Because we came out of Egypt with wealth. The people in Egypt gave the children of Israel all of their money and wealth and said, go, just leave, get away from us, just get out of here. Because there were so many plagues that befell them. And when that last plague hit and the firstborn of everybody and everything, even including the firstborn cow, was killed and slain, but it didn't touch the children of Israel, they take the money. He's saying that this is going to happen when we get ready to come out of this captivity and take the nations that get to go captives with us. It says, let me finish reading. Because he hath glorified thee, and the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls. You don't even have to do the work. and their kings will minister unto us. For in my wrath, I smote thee, meaning that we went through all this because Yah has been mad at us because we chose other gods and chose not to keep his commandments that he gave us. But in my favor have I heard mercy on thee, had mercy on thee. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually. We don't have to ever worry about anybody attacking us at all, sleeping with the windows and doors open. We won't be hearing what you hear in the background now. They shall not be shut day nor night that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles. That's the forces of the Gentiles, armies, police. Ain't nobody coming at us no more. And that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee, they will perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted and destroyed. Let's work the works of him that has sent us while it's day. Because when night comes, no man works. And that night is going to be atrocious. It's leading us to the kingdom. And it's good things to come. But there's going to be death and depopulation. And whose side will you be on? And will you walk away from who you are as a person because you don't want to know, find out that you are the people? Because this slavery and colonizer has beat you down so much that you can't even see royalty in yourself. We're a chosen generation, royal priesthood, meant to bring healing to the world. I'm still ministering to people, not just words of life, but there are people being healed around me. But if you don't want to adapt to this lifestyle, which is the commandments and laws, no, you won't be walking in the healing or receive that. And so if a person can demonize you enough, you can't receive your healing from a person who has the gift because they've been demonized and you choose to believe the gossip that has been spewed out about a person so that you don't receive from that person. That is what's going on with us. We read that in John 9 about Yeshua, how they said he's a sinner. How can he do this? So there's healing in our bodies to give to people, but people have been told a dismissive term and they say, that such and such is crazy. They crazy, they off. Not knowing inside you lies a wealth of something that can help them and heal them, or the wisdom to not go running your jabs and depend on man and his science. My God, today, let's do the work. And if they don't want to receive it, like he told his disciples, shake the dust. It's on you. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm trying to get somewhere to this kingdom. It's a dark day coming. And if you're not right, you're being purged out. Said two-thirds of our people will be destroyed. All that said there, Israel is not Israel because they have pledged their allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I spend my time, people. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it because truth is a journey and not a destination. Be the preacher. You have been listening to The Awakening Blueprint for Life. Continue to do the work. Keep your eyes open, but your hearts closed off to Yah. Only he can have your mind, your spirit, your heart. Just don't give it to the world. Don't lust for the world. We can do this. When you read these depopulation scriptures, but you see the hope of what's going to come and where he's taking. He said, I'm still going to choose Israel. After all this, I'm still choosing them. All praises to the Most High. Shabbat Shalom. Stay woke.